This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Sandton today to talk to Nadia Kamisa, co-founder and CEO of the Hello Group. Nadir, it's great to see you again. Welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
So we last chatted, I was trying to remember when it was on the drive over here this morning. I think it must have been about 3 or 4 years ago now.
Yeah, it's about 3 years ago, exactly. We were just about to launch our financial services business.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hello Group, you guys you're one of the more successful, can I call you a fintech player?
I think a big part of our business today is fintech.
Yeah.
So I guess that is a fair point.
So for the benefit of listeners who don't know Hello Group, how did you guys get your start?
Okay, I'll try and be as brief as I can on the background because it's quite a long story. But in essence, it all started 13 and a half years ago when I was working working at a bank in London, and my family was all in South Africa. And my brother and I couldn't really understand why it cost 10 times as much for them to call me from South Africa as it did for me to call them from London. So I was paying for all the phone calls, and I wanted to understand why this was the case. And at the same time, it was, you know, many things were happening at the same time. And the first one was telecom was going to be deregulated in South Africa, and this was in 2005. And also in the internet, which is a world that my brother was very fascinated with in the early days, there was a realization that you could actually carry a voice minute over the internet via a protocol that we all know today, voice over IP. But 13 and a half years ago, this is pretty revolutionary. And we started off, you know, I quit my job and we started our first business doing voice over IP cheap international phone calls. And that's taken us from doing international phone calls to building a virtual mobile network in South Africa called Hello Mobile, which is now 8 years old. We then built a SIM card distribution business where we today have about 30,000 micro merchants in informal markets who you know, buy SIM cards from us. And then in 2015, we launched an international money transfer business, which was actually a pretty significant milestone in allowing low-income communities to do very, very low-cost cross-border money transfer transactions. And that's really probably the biggest driver of growth for our business today.
So you're an actuary by background, if I recall correctly.
I did study actuarial science for my sons, I guess.
And I seem to recall in the last time we met, you said that you didn't want to see yourself sitting in the basement of an insurance company for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I don't want to offend all the actuaries out there, but as a 20-year-old university student, that was definitely my nightmare scenario. And I decided to go into banking instead and then entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. So how big is Hello Group today?
So Hello Group has grown significantly over the years. And it's amazing that, you know, we're celebrating, we have our year-end function on this Friday. And as I was writing my piece, you know, to reflect on the last year, we've realized that we've hit a very significant milestone in the last year, which is we've actually got more than 1,000 people in the company now.
Wow. I think it was 300 the last time we spoke to you.
I think it was about 300, 3.5 years ago. So it's been an exceptional few years. It's over 1,000 people. We have presence, like physical offices and people in 7 different countries. We do business and, you know, payments across over 30 countries. So it's grown quite significantly over the last few years, and that's had its challenges, but it's been a blessing, and it's been a fun journey so far.
So what is the biggest part of the business today?
Okay, so today, the biggest part of the business in terms of the number of people involved and the innovation and what we see as really the opportunity going forward is without a doubt our financial services business. As we stand today, that is low-value cross-border remittances in multiple markets. We have licenses in many countries, and we spent a lot of time building the base layer infrastructure, which we see as primarily compliance, regulatory, as well as treasury management and the customer interfaces. And that is that's been a long slog and a lot of investment into building that platform, which we plan to build on over the next few years.
So remittances, so most of the business is cross-border type mobile money remittances?
Correct.
Okay. And do you see opportunities of expanding that fintech portfolio, of offering basic mobile banking type functionality in markets?
Absolutely. And Duncan, this is one of the challenges we have, right? Financial technology is such a fertile ground, and the financial industry is such a fertile space for revolution or disruption. There are many opportunities, and our biggest challenge is picking the ones that we believe we have the highest probability of winning. So our strategy is without a doubt to expand within the financial services stack. And within the next 12 months, we will be launching a number of very interesting initiatives, partly on our own, but largely with partners within the existing financial services ecosystem. So we're talking, really the full range. There's a number of insurance plans. There's a digital banking offering in the pipeline, and a few other services.
All right, so I'm guessing you can't talk too much about what you've got in the lineup, but you actually had a license, if I recall correctly, from the Reserve Bank to offer mobile money services.
Correct.
So, I mean, how much do you need to partner with existing financial services companies to be able to launch some of these products?
That's a good question. So financial services regulation is a very complex space.
Mm-hmm.
So we have different licenses for different products, as well as different levels. So we have, and we were actually the first recipient of an independent money transfer operator license from the South African Reserve Bank, who is actually an exceptionally progressive regulator, not only in cross-border, but also in domestic regulation. So we do have that license, and we have similar licenses in many other countries in Africa, which we are leveraging for remittances, and in some markets for domestic payments as well. In the South African context, we do not have a banking license, for example. We do not have an insurance license. A lot of these licenses require very large organizations, require massive overhead, and for those reasons, don't justify servicing the segments that we operate in, which is the low-income communities. And by default, they have small amounts to save, small amounts to spend, and it doesn't justify having this massive infrastructure, which is why I think it's a brilliant win-win. And now many of our partners who we've dealt with historically and our partners in the pipeline today believe that it is tremendously value-add to share that infrastructure with us and allow us to access the lower end.
Mm-hmm. Do you think those regulations are a little bit too onerous for companies that are trying to service that lower end of the market?
I believe that they are very onerous. It's a difficult one for me to judge because historically, if we look at the way the South African financial system held up during the financial crisis of 2008, we were probably one of the top in the world, if not the number one performing economy and number one performing financial system in the world. So they're doing a great job on the defense, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of how they're modernizing the financial landscape, I think does need some work. And the central bank is working on this and the regulators are working on this. I think the challenge they have is they're trying to modify a system that is designed to be the bedrock of the financial system and is designed really not to change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very difficult thing to do. My personal concern with this is that I could see the financial system having a similar WhatsApp moment to what the telco industry's been experiencing over the last few years, which is regulate to the nth degree and have this OTT player just land a service over the internet and serve your customers in your country without a license, which almost, I think almost disrupts the regulator. So I think that is a possibility. But regulators are making positive steps, and I'm hopeful that it works.
It's an interesting one. I mean, can you create a regulatory environment that both fosters innovation in the space that you guys play in, while at the same time protecting the system as it exists today and preventing those sort of shocks that we saw in 2008?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge for countries like South Africa, right? So the UK and the US have very open economies. Mm-hmm. It's, moving money in and out is quite easy, and also they're not as susceptible to external shocks as South Africa is, right? So our system has to be more secure. But what they have done is they've created regulatory sandboxes that allow entrepreneurial organizations to come in there and build innovative product. What they also have that South Africa is significantly lacking, I believe, is some sort of intermediate step between a fintech and a full bank.
Mm-hmm.
And this intermediate step would allow technology businesses to potentially take deposits and do quite a and access the payment system on par with the banks, with some sort of restriction but lower license requirements. And I think that would massively foster innovation. And I'm hopeful we see that happen at some point.
So, Nedjadia, there's a lot of really interesting stuff happening in financial services in South Africa. We've got a whole raft of new banks launching. Michael Jordan is launching Bank Zero. Discovery down the road here is taking the wraps off what looks like it's going to be quite a big enterprise. And, of course, we've seen the mobile operators experimenting in mobile money. They both Vodacom and MTN shut down their offerings, but MTN announced just a couple of weeks ago that they're going to relaunch mobile money in South Africa. What do you make of all these paradigms, and how do you see companies like yourself playing in this environment?
Yeah, Doug, I think that's an excellent question. I think, firstly, financial services in South Africa is without a doubt ripe for some sort of re-energizing. And we're seeing that right now with the new banks coming in. I think they're going to be primarily digital. They are cutting out a lot of the analog nature of the banks. They're going to cut out a lot of the red tape. And I think that this is really what consumers want. So Europe, the US, and China is really actually leading this charge, with WhatsApp in China is probably the biggest bank in the world in terms of the number of customers.
WeChat.
And the number of WeChat, as well as Alipay in China, probably the biggest banks in the world today in terms of the number of customers and the number of transactions they're doing. So we very much see Hello as part of that trend in the subsegment of the informal market in South Africa. And I think this is a trend that has tremendous opportunity to not only create financial returns, but also to create tremendous social impact of financial inclusion and building a bank that really works for the people.
Let's talk about the telecommunications side of your business. How's that doing, and what are the opportunities there?
So that business, I guess, very much like the telcos, the big telcos in the country, is seeing a huge migration from voice to data.
Mm-hmm.
And that is default, and I think that's going to continue going forward. What's been particularly challenging for our business is the trend of international voice moving to OTT platforms. That's definitely been a challenge. What's actually been a pretty positive for us is on the distribution side, we are very well entrenched in the informal markets, and that has been a great opportunity for us to sell data product, and we're seeing tremendous growth in that. So net, our business is slightly positive. And also, it feeds into our financial services ecosystem tremendously because of the access point we have to tens of thousands of micro merchants and the access we have to literally hundreds of thousands of consumers.
All right. So you've moved to London. I think you moved there about 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
Are you focusing on internationalizing the business? What is your primary focus today?
So my primary focus for the last couple of years has been on internationalizing our existing businesses and also investing in building new startups. So our existing business, at least Hello Pesa, our international money transfer business, as well as Hello Mobile, which is our telco business, are run by management teams who have been with us for between 8 and 10 years. And these guys have really built the businesses. They're doing they have been doing a tremendous job, and I've almost made myself redundant, to be honest, from a day-to-day operational perspective, right? And I think these guys are doing a way better job than I could have ever done. And from a personal perspective, I have the entrepreneurial itch, potentially a little bit too much, right? I love the startup stage. I love the chaos and the energy of going from zero to one. And that's what my brother Shazim and I do nowadays.
Right. Okay. So are you looking at new ventures as well on the side?
Yes. So we've spent probably 18 months, I would call it, in the desert. I don't know if it's in the desert or up in a mountain somewhere, but really thinking and looking for new ideas and, you know, what should be the next big thing. And we actually have something we're working on right now. We're in development. That should hopefully launch by June or July of next year. And I'll definitely come and be in touch with you before we launch that.
I look forward to hearing more about it. So I know Hello Group was, you guys really bootstrapped the business from the ground up. I don't even know if you brought in any funding at any point, did you?
No, we've resisted that all along, actually. So, yeah, you're right. We did bootstrap it. We started off with the money I earned at Deutsche Bank and then just grew it from there.
Nadia, what are your plans for the future? Are you going to require funding or are you going to continue just to grow it organically?
You know, historically, we've always turned down requests for funding because we were building relatively small things. Going forward now, we have some very, very ambitious plans for the financial services business in South Africa, as well as our expansions into other parts of Africa, and that may require funding at some point. When that happens, we would, you know, we'd explore it. And the only other reason we'd probably, you know, take an investor on board is if they can bring something other than the money. So an investor who has some sort of platform or some sort of licenses or some can provide us some sort of market access would be interesting. But if it's purely for the money, I think it's going to be quite unlikely.
Mm-hmm. So we're actually recording this podcast today at the offices of EY, formerly Ernst & Young in Sandton. Now, you're involved in some sort of judging contest, and you told me just before we started recording today that you are blown away by some of the talent you've seen here. Tell us briefly about that.
Oh, yes. I've been asked by EY to judge the World Entrepreneur of the Award, World Entrepreneur of the Year Award today.
And you're a previous recipient of that, right?
Yes, correct. We did. So my brother Shazim and I won the World Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2015 mm-hmm. by EY, which is a great, great thing for us to have received. And I decided to spend the day today judging entrepreneurs. And was really blown away by the talent and the quality of people we have in South Africa, some of the brilliant businesses ranging, you know, across the spectrum. And I think that's something South Africa should really be proud of. You know, I'm down here for 3 days now for work, and I hear a lot of the negative stories around the politics and the currency and the crime. Mm-hmm. And I wish more people could have heard the stories that I've heard this morning around entrepreneurs who are bootstrapping businesses and, you know, against all odds, building amazing organizations, creating thousands of jobs. These are really inspiring people. And I'd love to see that. I'd love to see more of that happening.
Great stuff. Well, on that positive note, Nadir, it's been great to catch up with you again. Nadir Kamesa is co-founder and CEO of Hello Group. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Duncan.